Politics, sports, entertainment? Yeah, we've got that. It's WKOK Sunrise on News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
And thank you so much for joining us on WKOK Sunrise. Mark Lawrence here at the anchor desk. Rob Setter on the other side of the glass. Always very much appreciated, our producer. He's why the podcasts are podcasted shortly after the program, so we always appreciate that. In the studio with us now, movie Mike McGranahan is here. Welcome aboard, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for coming in. Always appreciated. We always start out with your review, Minions, The Rise of Gru.
The Minions were easily the most popular part of the three Despicable Me movies, so in 2015, they got their own spinoff that explained where they came from. Now we've got Minions, The Rise of Gru, a sequel to that prequel that features the Steve Carell-voiced character Gru, yet is not an official Despicable Me movie. This franchise is getting complicated. The story involves the little yellow creatures helping out when 11-year-old Gru is hunted down by a league of supervillains he stole a magic artifact from. But really, that plot is just an excuse to put the Minions into a series of wacky situations. They dress up as pilots and fly an airplane, they get martial arts training, one of them rides a big wheel halfway across the country. The film ends with a climactic fight between the Minions and the supervillains. There may not be a whole lot to Minions The Rise of Gru, but it definitely gives fans what they want. The comic mayhem is very funny, and there are clever jokes scattered throughout, including a villain named Nunchuck, who is a nun with, you guessed it, nunchucks. You won't find one of those in parochial school. Do I wish Minions The Rise of Gru had more story to it? Yes, I do. Regardless, I laughed consistently, and I think other Minions fans will too. On a scale of 1 to 4, I give it 3 bananas.
Okay, what a review. Your review is as interesting as I'm sure the movie is. So, who is the Minions for? I mean, is a four-year-old going to enjoy this?
I think so. The thing about the Minions was that the Despicable Me movies were aimed at kids, but everybody sort of fell in love with the Minions. They became a phenomenon. And, of course, if you're on Facebook, you undoubtedly have that one friend that posts Minions memes all the time, your aunt or somebody like that. But they really took off and became popular in a way that I don't think anybody ever anticipated. They were meant to be scene stealers, but just the phenomenal popularity of them has been crazy.
All right. So the Minions. And so in terms of sort of the metaverse or the how big do these films get now? How big a franchise is this?
It's huge. All three Despicable Me movies were enormous box office hits. The first Minions movie from 2015 was a huge box office hit. This one just broke records for 4th of July weekend opening. So there is a very, very big appetite. And we should mention that this movie technically was supposed to come out, I think it was like 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago, and it was bumped because of COVID. So this is really the last of the COVID-delayed movies to finally hit theaters. But even with that big gap between the last Minions movie and this one, people are still turning out for it and still excited about it.
All right. So you answered my next question then. So it is in theaters.
Yes.
Anywhere else streaming?
No, just in theaters for right now.
If with good big movies, are we pretty much done with this streaming box office or theater double release kind of thing?
I think we may still see that for some smaller movies, but as far as the big ones, yeah, I think that's pretty much over. Top Gun Maverick and Minions The Rise of Gru were the last two COVID-delayed movies, and they were ironically the two that were delayed the longest. And they're both out now and doing very well. The theaters are doing well. There have been a number of very, very big hits this summer. So I think it's safe to say the movies are back. People do want to go out to a theater and have that communal experience. So I think that we're going to see, you know, that kind of thing continue, and the smaller movies will get that limited theatrical release and some streaming at the same time.
All right. Well, tell me about the box office. What's happening there now lately? Mm-hmm. You mentioned that we got a record for this particular film.
Mm-hmm. The box office is doing really, really well. Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness was an enormous hit. Top Gun Maverick is closing in on $600 million domestically. It's going to hit that next week, which is an incredible amount. Jurassic World Dominion is coming up on $400 million. We've got the Minions, which opened to, I think it was $125 million over the 4-day weekend. Thor Love and Thunder Thunder opens today, that's going to be one of the biggest hits of the year. So, you know, we're definitely back in that phase of having big movies come out the theaters and people are turning out to see them.
And in terms of, let's see, we'll say mid 2019 levels, where are we in terms of the number of people there?
I believe the number is still smaller for, you know, the number of people who are turning out, because there are still some people who won't go to the movies. They're still being cautious due to the lingering effects of COVID and the Omicron variant, things like that. But we're seeing movies do well again. You know, there was that period during COVID where the number one movie in the country would open to $2 million.
And we were excited about it.
Right. We were like, wow, that's really good for COVID. And now we're getting movies that are opening at 100 million plus again. So I think this does show that after 2 years of COVID, people want to get out. They want to be in groups. They want to see other people. They want to get out of their house and do something and see a movie in a theater.
So many people want to get out, but still not quite everybody
right.
wants to get out. So, and will the box office ever go back to 2019 levels?
I think so. I mean, I think that this summer has been very, very encouraging for the theater business and what they're seeing and how well these movies are doing. It gives every indication that movie theaters are alive and well, and will continue to thrive.
So what is the length of time that a film will stay in the theater before you find it on some streaming service, usually for money, you know, 20
right.
bucks or up?
Well, that is changing. During COVID, the theatrical window for most movies shortened to 45 days. For example, Downton Abbey, A New Era, which I just reviewed, you know, a few weeks ago, is already streaming and on Blu-ray. So that is shortening, and that may continue, but it's really going to depend on the size of the movies. A bigger film like Minions or Top Gun will have a slightly longer period of time before they go to a streaming service just because they're doing well in theaters.
Okay.
So you'll see smaller movies or movies that don't do as well hitting streaming sooner than the big blockbusters.
So I'm months from seeing Maverick, in other words. And even then, it'll be 20 bucks.
It'll probably go to Paramount Plus because it's Paramount film. They'll probably drop it on Paramount Plus as they have with Scream and The Lost City and some of their other movies. You might see that by, you know, Labor Day, something like that.
Labor Day. And who has Paramount Plus? Is that popular? It's not new to me.
It's a really good streaming service. I have it, and they have a lot of old movies. My gripe with Netflix is that you can't see anything on there really before 1990 or 1985. Paramount Plus has some older movies, which is fun to go back and look at.
Oh, wow, super. Okay, well, that sounds great. Okay, well, thank you so much. All the way back around to Minions, The Rise of Gru.
Three bananas. In honor of the Minions' favorite food.
Oh, I got you. Okay. Okay, who knew? All right. James Caan died yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, I'll tell you what, it's a big surprise. And then same with him and some other actors. You see the filmography and you're like, holy smokes, I saw him in everything.
Yeah, Hollywood legend James Caan died Wednesday night. The family has not yet revealed the cause of death, but he was 82. And he was in so many great movies, including The Godfather, Misery, Honeymoon in Vegas, Brian's Song, Rollerball, Elf, where he played Will Ferrell's dad, and my favorite, Michael Mann's Thief, which is a movie not enough people have seen, but it's from, I think, 81, and really great performance. And what was so fantastic about James Caan was that he had that sort of tough guy image, but at the same time, he could also project a lot of vulnerability, and he could do those things simultaneously, which very few actors can do. He could be tough and vulnerable in the same beat, and I think that was what made him special. I really had so much respect for him as an actor. I'm very sad that he's passed, but what an amazing legacy of work he's left behind.
Well, totally convincing characters, completely different in every movie, and completely plausible and immersive, mm-hmm. and they all suck you right in.
And he could do comedy or drama. Certainly, you look at something like Thief or The Godfather, which are very dramatic. But then look at what he did playing opposite Will Ferrell in Elf or in Honeymoon in Vegas. You know, he could use that ability he had and put his comic timing to it, and it was very funny.
And transform himself. What about a love story? Do we have James Caan love stories out there?
He was in, was it Funny Lady he was in? Yeah.
Okay.
A couple others. You know, he generally tended to play sort of the hard-as-nails guy. The Gambler, another movie he was in from the 1970s, where he did that same kind of thing, tough but vulnerable at the same time. So just a really diverse actor and somebody who was always a pleasure to watch. And whenever he came on screen, you knew you were going to see something good.
85, you said.
Yeah, right? 82.
Oh, 82. Okay. James Cameron wants to get out of the Avatar. Now, he was just trying to convince us why 3 hours is an appropriate length for a film. We saw that earlier this week.
Right.
Which, okay, we'll buy that as long as there's a break in the middle somewhere. But now he doesn't want to be part of Avatar, what, 4, 5, 6, or whatever's up.
Yeah, he has plans for 4 more Avatar movies. The next one comes out this December. But he's saying that he might stop directing them after the 3rd one and pass the baton to another director whom he trusts. He says he's not 100% sure on that yet, but we may see him step away because he says he has some other projects that he wants to work on. So that's the part that's kind of exciting about it. I'm looking forward to the Avatar sequels, but the idea that James Cameron already has his next big thing in mind is very cool.
Well, yeah, and the way that he worked on this, they showed, you know, we've seen the documentaries of the production of Avatar, the first one, and we'll probably see one eventually for the sequel when it comes out. Just totally immersive, 18-hour days, day after day after day after day after day after day, you know, just continuously working and working and working on this. So maybe that's a little bit unsustainable, especially for something that wants to, for somebody who wants to do something else.
Right.
Okay, so James Cameron trying to get out of the Avatar sequence. And let's see, Hugh Jackman in Wolverine, you tweeted about this. What's all that about?
Yeah, of course, Hugh Jackman stepped away from playing Wolverine in the movie Logan a few years ago, but there's been a lot of talk about Wolverine joining the official MCU in some capacity.
Okay.
And the actor who apparently is in the lead to take over the role is Taron Egerton from the Kingsman movies, who's a very good actor, and he has made it quite clear that he would love to play Wolverine. He met with some of the Marvel brass, so we may see him take over that role, and I think that that would be a great choice. He's a good actor, and I could definitely see him in the role.
Okay, fabulous. All right, well, good. Well, yeah, we want to keep that going. That was, it's just good old fun escapist theater. Nothing wrong with that.
And he also played Elton John in Rocket Man, so that shows you his range.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Okay, good. Well, thanks for the reminder. Well, thank you so much.
Thanks. Always fun to be
here.
Thanks
for the update. Movie Mike McGranahan, professional movie critic, women in cinema advocate, and prolific tweeter. The Minions, The Rise of Gru, 3 bananas, says. And probably even a little better than that if you're a kid. They probably gave it 4 or something. So, all right, you're listening to News Radio 1070 WDKOK. Next up, Your Money Now.